Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
That's what it, we're going with.
That's art, baby. Yeah. That's how art works. Liz, do you not like art anymore?
I realize Liz, now that I'm mic'd up. You. Oh, no. Now that I'm mic'd up, you can hear how much I ugh. Because it's a lot.
That's true, yeah.
So wait, we're gonna find out. We're gonna discover how much you secretly hate everything we say.
I really don't care.
Secretly. Learn a lot of dirty little secrets.
Don't care for much of anything that's going on in this scenario.
I mean, that's fair.
Not only do I have to stay up all night talking, I have to do it talking to you.
Isn't it good to have friends?
I don't know. I've never had one.
No.
I just burned you.
You've got three.
You're a lot nicer when you're almost dead.
I'm a different bird.
No.
I think with that...
So there's going to be bonus content that's 6 hours of this, right?
That's what it feels like. And I'm for it.
For sure. Well, I was going to have John at Wake Up.
Oh, come on. Okay. Oh, let's all have a quiet talk together.
A beaten and battered family.
Oh, a nice quiet conversation.
I know when you wake up tomorrow, you won't tell me a thing. And that's fine.
I told you everything. I don't repeat myself.
I think you were lying quite a bit.
No.
Yeah.
When have I ever lied?
Most of the time.
No, but... Hey, can you tell him to keep it down? We're talking.
Hey, buddy. Hey. Good morning. Good morning. Hi. Yes.
Gable.
Yeah, just lay down. It's fine. You're safe.
We're at the... hotel. Don't worry.
Travis, your arm.
Hold your applause.
Oh.
Because you can't, because you only have one wing?
Hey. I can't hold anything.
No fingers. It's fair. No fingers. Hey, so I've been talking to Travis, which, as you know, is not a fun thing to do ever.
I'm sorry, Cable.
There's,
Hey, did you hear that?
Yes, thank you for noticing. Thank you for noticing. Someone notice when people change.
Well, I scream every time I do it.
That's true.
And people just ignore it.
There, a lot of what Travis has been saying has been pretty nonsensical, so if you kind of piece it all together for me.
We ran it. We got into some pretty heavy stuff.
Oh, no, really?
At the stadium.
Couldn't tell.
I know it's hard to believe, but we may have screwed things up.
Okay.
Much worse than we ever thought possible.
Okay.
And things were got real hairy at the stadium and
surrounded
met
by
the Bandit Queen. I met the Bandit Queen.
What?
And she ruined everything.
What do you mean she ruined everything?
She pricked me. She pricked me, and then everything was hard, and everything was she screwed everything up. Gable,
I thought she was a metaphor.
No, she's real. And she's mean. Oh, and she's got a lot of tricks.
I know all the gossip about Ormar and the Bandit Queen. I'll catch you all up. It's very juicy.
Okay, well, go. You
so
know.
Wait. Gable thought that Ormar was dicking down with a metaphor.
Never mind. Never mind. Never mind. Yes, I'll catch you all up. But first, how did we end up with holes in some of our bodies?
No. I told you. Tell us the goss.
No. Well, okay. We escaped the stadium, and because the captain was carrying all of us, and I don't know how, I don't know if you told him to do this, but he jumped through a window, and it was at a bar, and
jeez.
And
then
everything he knows.
Then why did you tell him to do that?
Well, he's a very literal captain.
That's fair.
It's very true.
Not a whole lot of nuance there.
Mm-mm. And Tiberius was there, and I tried to open my eye, and that's when everything went dark for me.
You passed out?
I did.
Maybe that's for the better. You've been doing quite a lot today.
That felt like the only time it mattered, and I messed up real bad, but we're going to get him. We're going to get him. Are you okay, Travis?
I'm great, never better.
We have to make sure that he stays awake until sunrise.
Sunrise?
Yes.
We have to talk to him for that long?
I know. Pretty bad night all around.
Okay, well, how about...
Also, did you know that we're basically a flying foster care?
What?
Yeah, all the orphans... Whenever we go to a new port, we recruit new ones based on their abilities and our ability to help them, and then we release the ones that have been rehabilitated back into the world. We're actually doing a lot of good, and it's been...
That's what that was with Spit.
Is that how you...
Yeah, the third time we went to port, Spit pulled me aside and he asked me all these questions. And he asked me if I love working on the ship, if I want to continue working on the ship, and I said yeah, and then he said would I die for the crew, and I said yeah, and then he said when I die for the captain, and well, we kind of all know what's up with the captain, so I said no, and then he let me stay.
Huh?
He did the same thing to me because I look so young.
No.
You don't.
No.
How do you think you look young?
You can't tell how old a bird is.
That's true.
Pick a bird.
Quick question, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in kind of bird season right now, right?
Yeah, it's bird season.
And you've been a wolf before, but like...
I've never been a wolf.
Coyote. He's very picky about it.
Okay.
Isn't it funny that there are so many kinds of birds, but there's only coyotes?
That's true. That's the thing that is true about our world. There's no other thing, no other dog besides coyote.
And then just if there's just snake,
mm-hmm.
and then rabbit. Nobody mm-hmm. knows what kind. Just rabbit.
I think.
But raven's it, one. Raven's.
I think it is a kind. You just haven't bothered to.
No, I
figure
would,
it out.
I would know.
Okay. What was your question?
In a weird way, he did answer.
He answered it. Okay, that's great.
Just by reminding us all about how there are only one kind of snake and coyote and things like that. So, yeah,
But there's so many birds.
There's so many birds.
So many different birds. We've seen all of them. It's been a very bird-heavy couple days. I love birds, but not that much.
Let's not go around and say our favorite bird.
Peacock.
Okay, I'm right here.
Travis is my favorite bird.
Thank you.
You know what? Travis, I don't know how you got us out of there, but...
You're welcome.
Thanks.
It was the trees.
What?
He said that there was a tree?
No. You're missing the forest for the trees. It was the woods inside.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to get kicked out of Pujanid?
Wouldn't be a magical party if we didn't. Right?
That's true.
Janet, I guess, offers up a high five to Travis.
He like slaps his wing into it.
Jonathan, I'll offer you either a medicine check or a perception check, whichever is better for you.
Are they the same?
Two green.
Average.
Average is two, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. These are dice, right?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I rolled insanely good for the first, like, for the first part of this session, and then it's just been trash city. That is two failures and one threat.
I am going to say I just needed a binary result on that. That secret is not discovered tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
Johnny, you roll. You roll.
I'll roll.
You roll to perceive yourself.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
We can make it real hard.
Perceive yourself.
It's perception?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have pretty good perception. That's four green. I'm willing
to four do purple.
Four purple?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I'm a betting man. I'll give myself a black as well.
No, because Johnny, please.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love it.
Because here's the thing. I got to earn it.
No.
And the other thing is I'll probably forget it in the morning anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... No.
Oh.
That's a two advantages.
It was really close, though.
Oh, that
dang
was,
it.
Damn.
Two advantages. You know, your head is ringing with the pain. There's just so much pain, and you're trying to talk through it. And the conversation that you have, that you're having, is like very low and easy and smooth. They're keeping you awake, but you're still like lolling about and fading in and out. And you feel like something is comforting you and steadying you, but you don't have enough presence to think too much about it.
Anyone want a drink?
No.
Jonathan? Rough night.
Yeah.
Rough night, big drinks. That's what I always say.
I'll take a small drink.
I really have to recommend ale with pomegranate.
The pomegranate?
I don't know. It doesn't sound like it would.
Do they have room service here?
They do.
Can we order room service?
Well, last time that happened, they just killed our friend, so who knows?
Oh,
who
knows? Gable has taken to, like, basically holding Travis, like a burping baby, just bouncing him up and down because he keeps on falling asleep and pacing around the room. I would say we should plan for tomorrow, but we've been...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The captain's face. Oh.
Yeah, that's one.
Oh, he got shot. His face is like my wing. It's gone.
Are we going to... Can we fix that?
It'll grow back in the morning.
Does it grow back?
Yeah,
it will not grow back.
No, every morning. Whatever happens to me, it stops the next morning.
No, Travis, we are not talking about you.
I think.
I'm sorry, what?
We are not. I'm talking about the captain.
Shh. We're talking about you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're talking about you.
We're talking about you.
Okay, so will Travis's jaw grow back? I don't think so.
I think we're going to just have to cover the captain's face.
Are people going to buy that?
We could get him a cool bandana, yeah. Like a big dog.
Like a big dog shirt. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we could cut up one of my big dog shirts and make a bandana.
I think the captain has enough presence that he can really pull off any look he wants.
Yeah.
You guys really beat him up, huh?
No.
At least under my watch, the captain didn't get stabbed or shot, so.
Yeah, but how many people did he stab and shoot?
Not a lot, so.
Yeah, so we win.
Hmm.
Yeah, we won that.
I'd like to see you get your arm cut off.
I'd like to see that too. I wonder what would happen. Hmm.
Jonet.
Huh?
Give me a knife.
Nope.
No, I'm not going to do that.
No. Shh, okay. We'll cut off my arm in the morning.
Thank you.
I would say we should read the rules of the jazz, but I don't think knowing the rules of anything has helped us before. So.
You just throw the stick.
You hold the stick. You don't throw the stick.
That sounds like a good idea. We should actually maybe take a chance and read a rule book in earnest together.
Who are you?
Me?
Reading a
look. I've been learning to stargaze. I've been wayfinding. Also, I watched Travis in the bird competition, and it was a mess. Oh. Also, you got to say thank you to me because the whole reason I got pricked in the bird by the bandit queen was because I was trying to help you out because you were getting attacked by the bird in the bird competition.
Did it work?
It did work, I think.
Say thank you.
Yes, Janet, say thank you.
No.
Travis.
I will let you fall asleep.
You couldn't. Yeah, I can't.
I'll stop talking. We'll stop talking right now.
I'm talking to you.
And you're going to lull?
You can't make me fall asleep. I'd like to see you try.
Goodbye and good night. Go to sleep, little birdie.
Here's the thing. If I fall asleep, that blood's on your hands. Oh,
no, the blood is on you.
Yeah, all you have to do is say thank you.
Thank you, Jonet.
Jonet.
Look, here's the thing. What was that?
I was trying to be a bird.
Well, I'm not.
Was that offensive?
I'm not like really a bird, you know? I'm just like, you know that thing where there was some philosopher.
Damn it, we gave him ammunition to keep talking.
And he said, you know, what's it like to be a bat? But you can't know what it's like to be a bat. You can only know what it's like to be a person in the body of a bat.
Oh.
Because if you knew what it was like to be a bat...
You would just be a bat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that's very interesting.
He gets it. My man.
No. Put your wing down.
I think Travis like wheels around with his wing up to Jonathan after being left hanging by Gable.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
No, Captain, put your wing down.
Up top.
Captain moves over and lightly high-fives Travis.
You are able to control him so well.
Yes.
That's better than Dref used to be able to do.
Well, everything I do is better than Dref.
I don't know.
Well,
Dref was pretty great. He only just died.
Oh, are we not cool yet?
I think we're trying to be cool, but...
Wait, where's Dref's heart? Where's Dref's heart?
In my pocket.
You don't have pockets.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Everything changes with you when you change.
Oh, my God.
I'll have pockets in the morning. It's not a big deal.
No, Travis.
You said that your stomach hurt?
Yeah.
It's because he's got someone else's heart.
The captain has appendicitis.
And you can feel what the captain feels. You have a link to the captain.
Yeah, because we're good friends.
No, you hate the captain.
Well, I hate everyone.
And
hey, here's the thing. Nobody more than myself.
Oh.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, buddy. No, Travis.
Depression is an ongoing thing.
Get him out.
Travis, you have Dref's heart inside of you right now.
In my pocket.
No, it's in your body.
It was in your pocket when you changed, and so it's now part of you.
Look, I've thought a lot about this. Because here's the thing. Every time I change, all the money in my pockets goes away. But I think that my clothes get very tiny and go inside me.
Okay.
So I think there's a little tiny coat inside of me that has a little heart and teeny tiny money.
That's the grossest thing I've ever heard.
Why? Money's money. It doesn't matter what size it is.
But then you give me the money, and that money's been inside your body. I have to spend your body money. It's got you all over it.
Cash is king.
No.
So anyway.
I kissed Hildred.
What?
Yeah. I also healed an entire hospital, but that's why I cut off my hair. And also, I talked to Leotoa and got all our money, and
no, some of the money's inside of my tummy.
We're not going to get all the money all at once because I'm starting some rumors.
What? Cable? Mm-hmm. You kind of had like the exact opposite kind of day.
I'm feeling sassy. I've had a fun day where I talked to a friend and hung out with my crush. Took a nice warm bubble bath and had a lot of emotional growth with a bunch of children.
Okay, that last one.
Yeah, I'm a kid.
Sounds a little weird. Yeah, but I always thought of you as like a... You know how... Mm-hmm. You know how Jeffrey the giraffe is a giraffe and not a kid, uh-huh. but he still hangs out with kids?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think you're like a giraffe. You're long of neck on the inside.
Really like that the legend of Jeffrey the giraffe is
alive and
part
well.
Of this world. He was just a giraffe that hung out with kids.
You could say that about any giant, really. Any gentle giant usually
finds their way into the company of kids.
Yeah, that kind of happens because other adults are just tall enough to be mean to them.
Mm-hmm.
But kids know what it's like to be different.
Wait, Gable, you cut your hair and healed a hospital?
And it you was... couldn't even help your friend. The bird.
I could try. I could do it right now. But that seems silly. Because I think you deserve this.
You still haven't said thank you for any of the times that I've helped you win or come out on top in any of these competitions.
Okay, well, the next time I win a competition, I'll thank you. But I don't know if you seem to remember, but this is a silver medal, not a gold medal.
You think how much more bronze that metal would look if that bird had gotten its claws into you?
Look, I don't even know what a bird is, Jonet.
What? He's falling asleep.
hey, no. Wake up.
There's a ice bucket next to the bar that Gable just like dips him headfirst into. Wake up.
Oh, the forest has a lake. What?
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 I'm wet.
Yes.
Where's the woods?
The woods are... Oh, you're back.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Let's see what happens if we do that again.
No, now I know it was just a bucket.
Oh, damn.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to stick both of your heads in buckets.
Oh, you can't.
Good luck when you're that tiny little bird with one arm.
No, tomorrow I'll be a big man with two
but
arms.
Now you're just a bird with one arm. Jonathan starts poking the nub.
Hey.
What?
It's an open wound.
He pokes it one time.
Joke's on you. That blood's mine.
Ew.
Blood's on me.
Blood's on you. That joke's mine.
Jonet, how about since we're all awake, how about you get the rule book and read it aloud to us? And we'll all learn together.
I'm not going to learn. I don't have to jest.
I need knowledge checks from each of you right now.
Why would you do this to me? What kind of knowledge?
And how hard?
It's... You know what? Based on the knowledges you have, this is going to be an average check. You're just trying to see if you learn any rules,
knowledge, any kind, any whichever one we want.
Yeah, whichever one you feel is most applicable to reading a rule book.
Adventuring.
Yeah. One exactly one advantage.
Hello, Travis learns best when he's dying. Mm-hmm. Three successes and two threats.
One success, one threat.
Okay.
My favorite thing about this is, like, I picture, like, we're all learning the same information, but it's just falling off of Gable's brain like a waterfall. Like, nothing.
You had the best day.
Nothing's sticking.
I think Gable falls asleep first.
No.
What happens?
I'm big and strong.
Yeah. And you also had a generally good day.
Yes. Great day.
With some difficult emotional turmoil towards the end of it,
mm-hmm.
You fall asleep first, and I think you have relatively pleasant dreams. It's probably best that you fall asleep first anyway, because you've got a joust tomorrow.
Yes.
So there are three successes from Travis. Mm-hmm. Holy cow. And how many successes from Jonnet?
Just one.
I think we'll start with Jonnet, and that any weapon apart from projectiles is legal in the joust.
All right. So I guess we're not allowed to do guns. So we should all just stick to more or less hand-to-hand or throwables. Well, throwables are kind of projectiles. But
you
no
hit,
guns.
You could hit someone with a gun.
Well, if it comes down to that, maybe. It was just like, we'll just say that we won't opt in for guns.
I got a question.
What's up?
You think angels pee?
I think everybody pees, Travis.
We should stick Gable's hand in that bucket.
But it's ice cold.
Yeah, that'll make them pee.
Shouldn't it be warm? Shouldn't it be warming up?
I think, I don't know.
I got some magic.
Jonnet, this is such a valuable use of your magic.
Yes.
Please.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this try and pan out.
I'm going to use Arcana. I'm assuming it's going to be average.
Yep.
That is a triumph. Gable's gonna pee themselves. Wake up in a pool of pee because you got pranked.
Got a triumph on piss play. I cannot. I'm so upset.
Okay, well that's a triumph and one failure.
Oh, well, you failed then.
Wait, what?
Yeah. The triumph is something really, really good happens instead, but not the thing that you were trying to make happen.
Oh.
Suck it. Suck it. Christ.
Okay, so here's what I think happens. Jonnet goes over to stick Gable's hand in this bucket. Gable shifts in their sleep and grabs Jonnet in their sleep by the scruff of his shirt, pulls him in, and cuddles him like a teddy bear.
That's a triumph.
That's it. That's your night.
And I'm like trying to like get out and then I slow down and then kind of relax and then I can go to sleep.
Don't worry, I'll learn the rules. Captain, can you turn the page?
The captain walks over and turns the page. And the night passes, and Johnny, when I have finished writing up the rules, mm-hmm. I will have three new rules for you. But you kind of read through the night, and the morning approaches, and the sun is about to start up. Like start its rise, yeah. And that's the sound the sun makes. The sun does make a sound.
Yeah, that's canon.
You are with the captain, and you're feeling this close connection, and you're seeing the damage on the captain. And something inside you tells you that you can do something about it. So the question that I have to ask you, Johnny, is does Travis try to do something?
Yeah.
How cautious is he about it?
I think it's close to morning, so not very, because he just has to make it to sunup.
That's true. I'll have you pull a luminary for
okay.
me. This has been super up and down for us the whole night.
My boy.
Oh, shit!
Oh,
Christ on a cracker.
Wow. On the friggin' nose.
Johnny pulls the changeling.
That's you.
So, we only gave the captain three wound points earlier, but I kind of think with his jaw getting blown off that he took another five. Mm-hmm. So he's at 8 damage right now. And essentially, what I think you can do is spend your strain and your wounds to heal the captain's wounds. Just like when the captain's legs broke on the civility, and Dref's magic sort of healed them up to keep them going, I think you can expend the energy to do that. Dref, you know, was sparing with that energy because he had to live with it. But you can give all but the end of your life and walk away fine. So how much strain do you have?
I have 8. I have 8 left.
8 left.
And I have 10 wounds left.
Let's see, 18. Yeah, you can do that. If you'd like, you can go within an inch of your life.
Yeah, let's do it.
Travis, you feel this connection with the captain, and your heart starts to race and quicken again. The captain sits down in a chair on the desk and faces you, and the two of you stare into each other's eyes. You can feel your life slipping away. And as you do that, you can see the tendrils of skin start to melt down the captain's face and reform. It takes this hanging jaw and slowly pulls it back up into place. You hear popping and cracking as new bones grow into place. And as you're starting to lose consciousness and fade from the world, the captain's jaws set in place. You have a moment of tranquility before the pain of the change starts as the sun begins to rise over Bujaneeth. And we move out of the window, above the Mori, moving up and up and up over the city, and turn our attention over to the fairground, where right now, working diligently, there are laborers building up the stadium for the joust, where this score and all others will be settled tomorrow. Hey heroes, it's James, your game master. Welcome to the campaign, Canned Midroll. I'm going to be traveling for the next couple of weeks, so I'm not going to have time to do careful, bespoke mid-rolls. So you're going to be hearing these exact phrases repeated several times over the next couple weeks. Hopefully it doesn't get too annoying. Heroes, the holidays are coming up, and my new book happens to be available right now. If you know someone that you love in your life who loves RPGs and actual play shows like what we've got here on One Shot, Critical Role, The Adventure Zone, or any of the hundreds of other wonderful programs out there, and they'd like their games to function more like those shows, then the Ultimate RPG Gameplay Guide is probably a good gift for them. In it, I try to break down my process to approaching RPGs, which has been informed by years of doing actual plays professionally. It also includes tons of tools and exercises to make that process easier. You can find an online or brick-and-mortar retailer by heading to bit.ly/RPG Gameplay. Or if you already have a book, you can leave a review on Amazon by going to bit.ly/Ultimate Gameplay. If you buy my book for a friend, you're also kind of buying a gift for me. Because I get royalties, baby! Before we get back to the show, I'd like to take a quick moment and thank some of our backers on Patreon. Jess Vetter, thank you so much. Lee Spee, thank you very much. Ryan Chilton, thank you so much. Daniel Spencer, thank you very much. Nicole Green, thank you so much, Nicole. Max Haselin, thank you so much. Sorry for the question mark there, Max. There are a lot of pronunciation symbols that I don't recognize in your name, but I think your email address managed to help me out. Let me know if I need to say that again. Ben Lee, thank you so much. Thanks again to all of our supporters on Patreon. We would not be able to make this show without you. One quick note before we return to the show. Unlike in previous years, One Shot and Campaign are going to be taking vacations on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Normally, One Shot doesn't skip a day, and I've been pretty much keeping that up with Campaign. This year, I'm trying to treat myself a little bit more reasonably.
And frankly, there are also other people involved with the production of this program that I don't want to put out by making them work holidays. So prepare for those skip weeks. And now with all of that out of the way.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's get back in the sky. We open on the darkness, a room that has no light in it whatsoever.
Yeah, sounds dark to me.
The air is cool, but not damp. It's crisp, and it smells, well, it smells like something that you can't quite put your finger on. You open your eyes, and you hear some glass break not too far from you. And then the room suddenly lights up with a faint red glow. Two orbs are facing you.
Hello.
What's going on now?
I trust you're not too uncomfortable.
This person tries to get up, stand up.
Oh, but don't struggle too much. You've been bound. I wouldn't want you to.
Where am I? Where am I?
You're someplace unsafe. Do you understand?
Oh, I understand. I understand that you're making a big mistake, buddy. Do you know who I am?
I assure you that I do. Yes. You might not know me, though. You've mostly been dealing with the Keeper of the Traitor's Skull. I am something of a business person in this city, and I'm here to just clear up something that I'm sure water under the bridge. This is going to determine whether you go back to the monastery or we deal with you right here. Does that make sense?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I do know that the people of the monastery are looking for me, and they'll be on your tail sooner than you think. They'll probably right on the other side of the wherever the closest wall might be.
Well, I absolutely know that the Liquid Swords are famous for protecting their own.
Oh, you better believe it.
Really standing up for anyone who hasn't disrespected the Wu-Tang. But you have, haven't you?
I don't know what you're talking
about. Your sacred oaths. You swore to uphold the honor of your monastery and comport yourself in the most professional fashion possible, but we're here because you haven't done that. And you're going to tell me the extent of what that is, or, and I'll let you fill that in, but I can assure you that I have a staff of people with imaginations far more vivid and horrible than yours could conjure.
In that moment, this guy starts like a guttural hum and then starts to like do a little chant, like, he starts to try and conjure something.
I'm afraid that you'll find that the room you're in is made of salt. There's no moisture in the air. Now, you could use the moisture in your blood or in the blood of my messenger, but it's not going to get you very far. And you're going to need that to live.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just a servant of the Liquid Swords. All right, you Bujanith has hired us to keep pure this water. And if anything happens to me, then the water system is gonna go to hell.
I can assure you that Traveler Quan is performing to the best of their abilities to ensure that that water system stays safe. Right now, to be perfectly honest with you, we have you here and your partner elsewhere, and one of you gets to be the lucky soul who tells us what we need to know, and they'll be able to go back to the Liquid Swords Monastery.
We've been skimming money.
We were able to figure that out with accounting. the question that I had is why? Why would money cause someone to disrespect the Wu-Tang, especially knowing how serious the consequences would be? It couldn't just have been for the skim. That's barely enough to live a high lifestyle for a year. Who else have you been working with?
There are people in this city that have access to resources that you, Mystery Man, you have no idea, and you can't comprehend, all right? And when those people come knocking at the door, you better answer, and you better be very nice and cordial, and you better invite them in, all right? So I'm trying to get by.
Help me comprehend. I need names. I need to know who you've been working with and how much they've given you, when they first made contact, how long you've been working together. If you do that for me, I can make sure that you return to the Liquid Swords with documentation that shows that you were overworked, and you'll be dismissed, and you'll be allowed to go about the rest of your days relatively happy. Or, do you understand?
Youngblood.
Youngblood.
Tiberius Youngblood. A lot of money. A lot of gold.
To do what? Gold to skim off the top?
He paid me to not perform the purification ceremony.
Did you follow his instructions?
Yeah. It has not been done. It has not been done. The water has not been purified.
Do you understand the consequences for that type of action?
Do you know what it's like to tell a young blood no?
I have a feeling that I'm going to understand that very soon.
Well, when that happens, and if you're alive, come back. We'll have a chit-chat about it.
I see. So, Youngblood approaches you with a large sum of money and tells you not to perform the purification ceremony. And you think that you're just going to leave town before the Mariner shows up with his fleet?
Look, all right, it's not a huge deal, all right? It's mostly a formality, all right? There's no need to purify the water at the same time of year every year, okay?
Perhaps this is just a matter of perspective. I think 60,000 human lives is a big deal.
Why did it?
Do you know driftwood?
Driftwood?
30 years ago, up the coast from Bujaneeth, driftwood was a small fishing village. Nothing near the size of our place, but before skyships were the end-all be-all, there were a few fishing vessels that would come by and try and sell their wares in Bujaneeth.
What is your point?
My point is there were around 600 people living in that fishing village. They did not have the benefit of having a Liquid Swords monk come in and purify the water, or the Red Feather Syndicate to protect them from the skies. They had a levy. That levy held for a very, very long time. But one day, a rainstorm started, and it lasted a week. And those water levels, they just kept rising until the Mariner was able to land his boats ashore. And all the drowned sailors stormed off those ships, and they butchered everyone in that village. Everyone. I assume I don't have census data. Maybe some decided to join the Mariner and their fleet of drowned sailors, but that's a fate worse than death, in my opinion. And you're proposing to me that you were comfortable with that happening here.
It's a formality.
In my city.
It's a formality, all right? The city's fine. The water's fine, all right?
The water's fine for how long?
I don't know. I just know that it'll hold. It'll keep. All right? It's not a big deal, okay? And I'll talk to Youngblood, all right? I don't know why he wanted the purification to not happen on schedule, but we can make something work, okay?
I have some assumptions. Your information is going to be considered, and it will be weighed against the testimony of your partner.
All right. What can I say? Is there anything that I can tell you? All right, because my partner ain't my partner, all right? And I don't trust that he has my best interest in mind, okay? So you tell me what you need to hear to let me go right now, and then we'll see if I can give that to you. But I am very good at delivering.
Interesting. I'll update you if we have any further inquiries.
No, don't leave me here.
And then the red lights that were on the Raven's eyes fade. And because it is absolutely perfectly dark, and there is nothing else for this man's eyes to focus on, he sees the bird's soul torn to pieces by the arcane energies as the broker's voice leaves the creature's body. You hear a soft thud as the bird falls off a perch in the dark. And we fade out. We fade out to
Christ, Jay.
Hell yeah, dog. You are so good at storytelling.
Yeah. Boy.
We fade out to a much brighter scene. Because we are currently at the start of the jousting competition.
We get to go all the way. Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Everyone's fine. We made it.
Yep. Yeah, you met up at the hotel room last night. You had your
ASMR conversation.
ASMR as heart to heart.
Oh, that was sweet.
Something that I actually thought of, Johnny, you can tell me how into this you are. Does Travis need to sleep?
You know, I was just thinking about that.
Because he's reborn with like a fresh body mm-hmm. every day. So theoretically, the chemicals in his brain wouldn't need that. But I'll bet he does take naps often.
I don't think he needs to sleep, but boy, does he like to sleep.
Aw, yeah, that makes sense.
Love it. Okay, so you're probably, you are not super tired. But Gable, you might be a little bit tired.
No, I fell asleep first, remember?
Oh, that's right.
No,
yeah.
I'm very well rested.
Okay. So currently you are seated in the broker's booth, for the joust competition. Mm-hmm. Right now in the main competition pitch, it has been expanded to be at its largest size, because the free for all is about to start. The free for all is the first stage of the three stages of the jousting competition. Those competitors who did not manage to accrue enough points to be seated for the joust have the opportunity to compete.
Ooh, but wild card?
Exactly. Ooh. There is a wild card. However, they must survive the free-for-all.
Ugh.
I mean, that's pretty good, though.
So, like, on competition day, I just want to see, how is everybody prepared for this occasion?
Jonnet has found a way to, in the haze of like the night before, he has snuck away, found some poster board, and has made a poster that says "Go Go Gable."
Aww.
Oh.
And it's larger than his body, but he's holding it behind his back so you can't see what it says.
Oh, perfect angel. Oh no.
That's amazing. We like see that. Travis, how's Travis prepared? It's the morning. You're a person.
Yes. Well, I've got a belly full of slinger. And I've probably had a Bloody Mary or two.
Mm-hmm.
It was a rough night.
You gotta keep it loose. You gotta replenish that blood.
Yeah.
You lost a lot of it.
And I'm just ready to watch our good big friend.
Yeah, I feel
ridden on by our dumb idiot friend.
Now, I gotta know, what is the Bujaneeth Iorpiora Bloody Mary like? What are the fixins that are put
Ooh,
on that?
Because wow.
It's got to be like one of those things with like novelty fixins.
Well, it's probably got edible flowers for the.
Oh, and a lot of sausage.
Oh yeah,
like a weird amount of sausage.
Yeah, like bird sausage.
Ooh, ewy.
Ooh, it's exotic bird.
I guess.
I think it's like ostrich sausage.
Yeah.
That's fancy.
Like they kill one ostrich griffin. That will last
years.
Years.
So big.
Yeah, there's like a big hunk of sausage on it. There are some edible flowers, and it's all been arranged to look like a bird.
Oh, gosh. I could go for a Bloody Mary right now.
Right? I wonder if Grubhub will deliver a Bloody Mary. Cool. What about Gable?
Gable's riding gear for this one is very simple. I think that a lot of our finery and costuming has been all highly themed and trying to keep a lower profile while still being very true to our sponsor. But Gable doesn't have the energy for that right now. So they're just in the regular riding outfit, just like leather pants and a loose blouse, mm-hmm. open, probably completely open, and is just talking to themselves at Metatron. So it looks like they're talking to Metatron.
Oh yeah. I guess your bird is in the booth with you, like given the privilege to watch along. Mm. That's very good.
These big, these enormous booths with like little people and big, big birds.
Yeah. There are big bird perches here.
Gable, can you keep it down? We're trying to watch the free for all.
I'm not. I have to be in a certain mindset to be able to talk to Johnny because I'm always so mad. Like I can't have a conversation.
And then also Johnny kind of like tugs on Travis's coat. He's like, hey,
"Yes,
hey,
she's being very loud, isn't she?"
No, Travis,
aren't they?
Travis, it's game time. It's almost game time, right? Let her get in the zone.
Gable kicks over Travis's chair.
Well, joke's on you. There are dozens of chairs up here.
I can't talk to him. I can.
Is this the same stadium that was the bird competition initially? So is this the same booth?
This is like a sort of, it's been changed a little bit to accommodate the joust, but this is like the same, that main thoroughfare where the race started.
Yeah.
That's the same general area.
And is this, are we in a booth yet?
Yeah, you're in a booth.
Are we still in the same booth that the Bandit Queen and I met?
Where you first met.
Woof.
Yeah, yeah. So I think in that moment, Jonnet is still trying to be very like cool and supportive, get Travis, but he's also kind of just like looking over his shoulder and just making sure that we are the only ones in this booth.
Do you still have your enchantment on you, or was that only for the day?
It was just for the day.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Matt, it's time to lie.
Oh, so in that moment, John thinks about the time limit, and then kicks Travis over again. He's like, was that dishonorable? Okay. All right, yeah, I think I'm good again.
Is the captain with us?
Yeah, why not? So, yeah. Well, actually, that's a really good question, Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you simply, in the morning, when you prepared for this competition, did you try to command the captain, or did you have Gable try and command the captain?
Well, I think I tried, certainly.
So if you were to just talk at the captain with your like normal clothing on, doing nothing different, then it's not going to work.
Okay. So rude. You know, I wish the captain could be here, but he was just in quite a mood.
Who are you talking to?
He would have loved to.
We all know what happened.
Well, the audience, you see.
Well, it's a private booth.
Who's the audience?
Well,
you mean the listeners to campaign. Okay.
But I'm the one that you don't like and not yourself. You're the bad one. You're the bad one.
Wait, what?
So you are in the broker's booth looking out over this massive crowd. You can see there are griffin riders, dozens upon dozens of griffin riders sitting on the pitch. They all have various weapons. They are looking like pretty anxious. And you can see that their birds also look pretty anxious to get into the sky. You are at one corner of the city. You can see there are three other booths positioned at their own respective
creative corners of the city around you, and you can hear starting up the echoing, booming voice of an announcer. Welcome, Brugianeath, to your Iorpiora jousting competition! There is a that happens. The crowd explodes. Casey,
oh,
I'm
no.
sure.
Yeah.
There's viscera oh, no. everywhere.
Oh my gosh, oh no.
We gotta get out of here.
You're slipping. Yeah, the crowd is so excited.
Now, before we begin the competition, we would like to present to you your neighborhood seated champions. First up, from the Autumn Court, we have the Brokers Wild with Gable.
And then Johnny is fucking turning up. He's like, he's pumping his fist. He's pointing to Gable. He's like pumping his the broker's like symbol. And he's super excited for this.
Gable waves and frowns.
Next up, your Spring Court champion of the Spring Chickens, Ratu Key.
Somebody, there is a person with kind of bronze skin and dark hair dressed in green and pink. They stand up and wave at the crowd. You can see so many green flags waving, and there are cherry blossoms being thrown up into the air, petals littering all over that section of the stadium.
Oh, that's lovely.
So much cheering.
You should have got your cherry blossom.
It doesn't make any sense.
Then you hear a massive earth-shaking honk, as you can see in the like bird seat behind Ratu Key is Batari. Batari being a massive trumpeter swan, doing the regular math on these, like to figure out the size of these birds. That's all sort of based around how big Metatron is. I found out that a trumpeter swan would be 31 feet long.
Absolutely not. Is that
world.
Even allowed? I cannot. Absolutely not. Well, it's been fun. I'm excited to die.
It's honk rattles the seat in the stadium, and the crowd goes
wild. Oh, it's
wild.
That terrible goose.
Next up from the Winter Court, representing the red peonies, Tiberius Youngblood.
And the crowd also explodes. Tiberius appears to have his own fans. You can see a shower of red and white petals being thrown about as the confident, swaggering form of Tiberius Youngblood stands up and waves to the audience. You can see that he has an eye patch now.
Oh, okay.
We don't care for him.
Jonnet hisses.
I think Travis said that to the mime he is sitting next to.
Another one? The same one?
It's the same
one.
He's
back?
He was in the broker's booth before. Why wouldn't he be here now?
Jonnet clocks him, waves, and tips a pantomime hat.
The mime waves back and then like does the middle finger like slowly raising up towards Tiberius Youngblood.
Got it. And Jonnet reaches into his back pocket, pulls out an application for the Uhuru, and hands it to the mime. It's like, just think about it. Just think about it.
Well, that's up to our fans at the $10 level.
The fans of the campaign podcast, you say?
The campaign podcast.
Finally, representing the Summer Court, standing in for Hildred Gastar, we have...
And the announcement cuts off.
Hold on one moment. Never mind. For the Summer Court, representing the Black Dahlias, your 3-time champion, Hildred Gastar!
A And if you thought the cheers were loud before, the stadium from all over, like you can hear, you can feel your ears buckle as the sound hits you. You see yellow and black petals being thrown up into the air, not only in the summer section, but all over the stadium. You can see projected onto the large screen a picture of Hildred Gestar as people are gasping. Most did not expect Hildred to appear. In fact, the newspapers, gazettes, and criers this morning were all announcing that Hildred would be out of this year's competition indefinitely after the accident suffered in the race. Yet here she is, standing in what appears to be excellent health. Wow. You can see over, because I'm sure at least one of you was interested enough to look at Tiberius Youngblood. Using a spyglass, which of course the broker has provided, it is easy to see his face darken, seeing Hildred standing up, waving to the audience.
Wow, you did that with one haircut?
Yeah. Scotty Jackson.
All right, we return once again to a long line of prospective sky pirates in front of the Uhuru. I should have actually read this thing.
Is it nasty?
This description before I started it. Yeah, I got to make sure it's not too nasty.
We're only accepting horny applicants today.
I'm only accepting ones I hate.
If you're dry or soft, turn around.
I want a character like a sponge.
So we return to that long line of applicants in front of the Uhuru. We see many colorful characters that wish to one day be sky pirates. One of them leaves the line, confidently walks up to the table, and places down his headshot and resume before sitting on the stool. He appears to be a middle-aged man with dark hair that's going a little bit gray and balding. He's also wearing a fine striped suit.
Whoa. A fine striped suit or a fine striped suit?
Are we impressed? I'm sorry,
is this Johnny O'Mara or...
Either way.
Pleasure to make your acquaintance. My name is Fig.
Fig?
Fig?
Pardon?
Fig?
Yes, Fig Wooster.
Fig Wooster. Interesting. What is your background, Mr. Wooster?
Yeah, what brings you to the Uhuru?
My background is in finance. I did a little bit of trading here, a little bit of trading there, and now I'm looking to getting into piracy.
Would you describe yourself as a capitalist?
Yes.
Next!
I can actually see that we have some millennials on this crew.
Here's the thing. Everyone gets one next, and we cannot deny it. So you've been nexted, so we're going to have to ask you to get off the bus.
Get the next boy off the bus, please. Yeah. See here.
I waited on this long line all day, and I will have you consider my application.
Look, here's the thing. You have to let us next you, or we can walk around your bedroom with a black light. We will raid your room. Mm-hmm. Those are your two options.
And it'd be super embarrassing if there's something on there.
We know there is.
We need three facts about yourself, one of which is a very embarrassing pun.
Okay. Wait. One moment. If I'm to understand, if I consent to continue this interview, you could check out my crib.
No, that's not what we said. We said we would raid your room. There's a big difference.
Okay, well, this is the real world, and I will not have you propose such a ridiculous criteria for joining our crew.
Let me be clear. This is not the real world. This is the challenge.
And I challenge you, sir, to get out.
You've got to learn the rules of the road. Another option that we could give you is we could put you in a haunted house with a camera on your face and see how long you could stay in there while you listen to Voodoo by Godsmack.
I will not be undressed before this crew of people. I deserve my dignity and my privacy.
Well, I mean, we are all eligible. We are an eligible crew here, and we are looking for that one special someone. And I honestly, I don't think that's you.
You must take me for some butt-headed Beavis, and I will not have it.
You're sounding like a real moon man with all these crazy ideas, sir.
I'm sorry, do you have any VJs? We want to make sure everyone's very healthy. That's it.
Okay.
You know, we've done it. I think we can hit all the things. Just because my joke wasn't very good,
I would like to establish some road rules for...
We already did that one.
Oh, did we? Did we
interviewed a real bozo today?
The real world yet? Have we hit that one?
Yeah, we done did that one.
I demand a celebrity death match. In order to join your crew, I'll face your strongest celebrity.
Who would that be?
I mean, that's gotta be
Pauly Shore.
Yes, Pauly. We're going to go get Pauly. Pauly!
He's busy wheezing the juice at the moment. He can't.
I see.
Anyway, what was your real thing?
Yeah.
I do finance. I'm a confident businessman.
Oh, yeah. Next!
I'm sorry, man. You've been nexted. We're just going to have to... I'm just going to... Thank you. I'll take this. Take this headshot. Have this resume. All right.
I will take this suit. Thank you.
All right. And you give me that belt. Thank you.
Oh, I see.
All right. Ooh, that's going to be... I'm going to take...
Thank you. All right. Okay.
Take that ring, pinky and index. Thank you. All right. Ooh, a monocle. Okay, ooh. Take that.
Anything else you want to say for yourself?
My harumphing monocle.
And I'm going to take that mustache. Yoop. Yeah. Thank you.
As soon as you take off the mustache, this person disappears into a big pile of squirrels and runs away.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, a small pile of squirrels.
James!
Was that in there?
I don't want to do these anymore.
I would not do another one of those. I couldn't figure out how to end it after you nexted him immediately.
Campaign Skyjacks is a one-shot network production. For more information, be sure to follow us on Twitter at @CampaignPod for updates about live shows and other events we might be doing. You can find more great gaming shows over at oneshotpodcast.com.
Welcome to Character Creation Cast, a show where we create and discuss characters, the best part of role-playing games, with guests using their favorite systems. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Bolter.
And I'm your other host, Amelia Antrim. Join us as we sit down with game designers, podcasters, and fans of games as we dive into learning about different RPGs through the lens of character creation. It's a combination of character building, player advice, game design insights, and even a little bit of fan fiction for a different game every month. We tackle a variety of new and old games, both well-known and indie-produced titles.
We learn how creating characters can tell us a lot about the games themselves. Check us out today anywhere you can get podcasts or on the One Shot Podcast Network at oneshotpodcast.com.
Jonet Kessler was played by Tyler Davis, who can be found on Twitter at Tyler A. Dave, on main stage with Second City, or at I.O. with Devil's Daughter. Gable was played by Liz Anderson, who can be found on Twitter at @Liz_... or on her podcast, Paired. Travis Madigo was played by Johnny O'Mara, who can be found on Twitter at @JohnnyInBriefs or on his podcast, Dilettante Ball. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master. You can find me on Twitter at OneShotRPG or on my other podcast, One Shot. The original music featured in this production was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott. You can find Arnie on Twitter at @ArniePArrott. And you can find more of his work at atptunes.com. This episode was edited by Casey Tony, who can be found on Twitter at @CaseyPony, spelled CaseyPoney, or on his own podcast, Neoscum. Our logo was designed by Fiona Shea, who can be found on Twitter at @FionaPup. The World of Sphere was inspired in part by the music of the Decemberists and the card game Illimat, property of Together Studios. The role-playing game used for this production is a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system published by Fantasy Flight Games. There are no kings. Take flight, heroes.
Strangers who've ever been kind, and once for our friends ne'er to rise. Twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny the call of the skies.